This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Anthony Brooks and Meghna Chakrabarty are both out today. The cost of college and the amount of debt students take to go to school continue to rise. So President Obama is proposing a new plan to try to lower those expenses and give students more information about what they could get out of each college. The president's plan would rank colleges and universities according to data like how much debt graduates have, the average salary graduates make, and what percentage of students graduate within 6 years. President Obama would then like to link federal financial aid to those rankings. That way, students at highly ranked schools could get larger grants and better loan rates. And listeners, we want to know what you think about this proposal. Is a federal ranking system for colleges based on factors like tuition and student debt and graduate salaries a good idea? Could it lower costs and make colleges more accountable to their students, as President Obama says it would? Or could it have negative effects? And tell us whether you would have chosen a different college if you had had information like this. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Joining us today to talk about the president's plan and what it could mean for colleges in Massachusetts is John Marcus. He's an education writer and a contributing editor at the Hechinger Report. We're also joined in the studio by UMass Lowell Chancellor Marty Meehan and the president of Wheelock College, Jackie Jenkins Scott. And John and Marty and Jackie, thanks to all of you for coming in today.
Great to be here.
Great to be here.
John Marcus, I want to start with you. Could you give us a sense of how a federal ranking system could affect schools in Massachusetts particularly?
Well, there are two diametrically opposed answers to that question. On the very immediate technical level, it's not likely to affect schools in Massachusetts significantly at all because Massachusetts universities and colleges, to their credit, have pretty high graduation rates and pretty low loan default rates. And those are among the value metrics that the president's rankings would assess. On the other hand, what it does is, what this rankings idea does is it brings attention to the idea of value for money. And in that respect, Massachusetts private colleges and universities cost 20% more than the national average for private college and university tuition. And in some cases, there are already questions among consumers about the value proposition of some sort of middle-tier colleges and universities with lower endowments, perhaps single-gender, religiously affiliated. They're already having some issues proving their value to students and their families.
So even if overall Massachusetts would do relatively well, as you say, I imagine there will still be some winners and some losers, relatively speaking. Could you name some names in terms of who you think naturally comes out on top here and who might really struggle?
Well, obviously, the elite privates come out well. You know, one of the I spoke with a higher education authority recently who pointed out that the only ranking that you need to think about, in spite of all of the various metrics that are measured by the likes of U.S. News, the only thing you really need to worry about is the four-year graduation rate. Once you get into an elite private university, you are likely to graduate in 4 years. It's some 90-odd percent of students graduate in 4 years, where the national average is somewhere in the 50% range. That is for students graduating from four-year programs within even 6 years. That obviously significantly increases your cost of college. So those elite privates, of which there are many well-known in the immediate vicinity in Boston and in Cambridge, will fare very well. Again, the ones that will sort of drop off to the lower end of that list are going to be those sort of middle-tier B-list private colleges that don't quite have the name recognition outside the region.
Now, many college administrators do not like this idea, and the president himself acknowledged that. He said, "We will not have all supporters." What are some of the issues or challenges that make people not like this idea?
University faculty in particular don't like being scolded. They don't like being shamed into improving systems, number one. Number two, the way that the measurements are taken could affect different colleges and universities in different ways. So, for instance, colleges and universities that enroll students that are kind of borderline might have gone to low-income urban high schools with poor preparation, but still have great potential. If the colleges and universities are now assessed based on their graduation rates, they might be inclined not to accept those kids.
And John, also give us a sense of how, in the end, you think this could possibly bring down costs, reduce debt. Sort of what's the likelihood that it really could have the impact President Obama thinks it could?
Well, as much as academics don't like to be shamed into things, it's an effective tool. And I think as more people begin to look at the value proposition, they will begin to punish colleges and universities that don't perform well. Already in many other states, private foundations are funding efforts to provide earnings data by institution, by major. So you know that if you major in sociology from one particular university, you'll make more money than if you major in sociology at another university. Why would you go to the university from which you will ultimately earn less money? Shame is an effective tool. There's already a great deal of momentum. Students and families are voting with their feet. They are looking for value. They are steering away from the most expensive universities and colleges, and they are more likely to pick a university based on price.
John, you're flanked here in the studio by two top college administrators, presidents. Again, Marty Meehan of UMass Law. We also have Jackie Jenkins-Scott of Wheelock College. Chancellor Meehan, let me start with you, because UMass already has, I believe, a system for ranking based on certain performance measures that kind of fall into this general universe. Give us a quick overview of what you're already measuring at UMass Law, and then whether you think a federal ranking system is good for colleges and universities.
Well, number one, when we came up with our strategic plan, we agreed to a report card. When I say we, the faculty, the deans, the administration, students, alumni, all participated in a process, and we came to a consensus that we really need to measure how we're doing, graduation rates, SAT scores of our incoming students, the diversity of our student body, the quality of student life. What I think is a little different from what we're talking about here that John indicated, it may be true that academics don't like to be told what to do. In this instance, we got bought in. Our folks bought into it. So it's worked very well for us, and by all the metrics that we're measuring, we're headed in an upward trajectory. From time to time, we look at a statistic and say, well, student advising, that we don't seem to have the satisfaction numbers that we're looking for. Let's see if we can't do a better job at student advising. By the way, student advising is tied directly into graduation rates, success, academic success of students. So I think it's worked well for us. I generally am supportive of the president's plan. I think he's targeting the high cost of college education, which is a major crisis in this country. I think he's focusing on some key issues like institutional and student accountability, standards, expected outcomes, transparency. I think generally speaking, those things are great. And, you know, we're, at UMass Law, we're an institution that 2 weeks ago was named by Forbes magazine the 10th highest rank in terms of best value of colleges in America. So we think this helps us. But we've already found that parents and students are more likely to decide where to go to college the way they'd purchase a home or purchase an automobile. They're being very, very careful about it. And I think the president's proposal will help with that.
So, Chancellor Meehan, although the details of the proposal aren't yet hammered out, including exactly what the rankings would be, you are generally supportive of this on a federal level.
Generally, I am. I will say this, from the public university perspective, Massachusetts is a state that historically hasn't invested in public higher education the way other states are. There are reports that show us ranked 48th in America in funding for public higher education. So we don't want to be penalized by comparing us with what it costs for an in-state student at the University of Wisconsin or the University of California. It costs more to go to the University of Massachusetts not because the cost has gone up, but who pays for it has shifted from the state to students. So those factors have to be taken into consideration.
Jackie Jenkins-Scott, as we said, you're president of Wheelock College. Now, Wheelock is a school where many students end up going into fields like teaching and social work, which
Absolutely.
Typically will pay less. So you are potentially disadvantaged mm-hmm. in rankings like this, although the rankings do say they will try to compare schools that are similar. Mm-hmm. How you do that still mm-hmm. has to be determined.
Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts, considering that you may not have the most highly paid students, at least first coming out of school?
Absolutely. I think that we... Like President Chancellor Meehan, we agree that the president's intentions are very good. It's a very complicated issue, though. There are over 4,000 colleges and universities in the United States, 78 in Massachusetts, all with our own unique history, our own unique approach, and a set of services. And Wheelock College is a very small private institution with a public mission. And our students leave Wheelock and they go into teaching and counseling and juvenile justice work and social work. And so they typically will not make the high dollars. And so having that as one of the criteria for the rankings is troublesome. So I'm hoping that over the next few years, there will be lots of opportunities for institutions like ours to weigh in on what the criteria should be. As you know, the this would be implemented in 2018. So we have a few years, hopefully, to engage in the dialogue. Institutions who are committed to accessibility and affordability, that's very important. And if we want to reach the president's other goals, which is making a college education accessible to all of those who qualify and need and want to attend, that needs to be taken into consideration as well.
And this is very much a classic devil in the details kind of ranking system. I mean, we have to know first how they'll be ranked. We spoke as we prepared for this conversation with someone from the American Council on Education, Terry Hartle, and he pointed out that Olin College of Engineering here in Massachusetts is a school that doesn't have tuition, so students come out without debt, and oftentimes they're coming out making quite handsome salaries because of the field they're in. Olin is uniquely situated, he believes, to fare very well in a ranking system like this. So I guess I'm wondering, both Chancellor Meehan and President Scott, how do you design a system that you think then takes into consideration all the individual factors of these colleges so that they're held accountable but not disadvantaged if, for example, they had a lot of low-paid teachers coming out?
Well, I think, as you said, that the devil is in the detail here. And we hope that there will be lots of participation in the discussions around how to do that. The president himself said that he hasn't figured out how to design that system. And I think that their willingness to engage in conversation and dialogue and not to immediately implement a program that people haven't had a chance to participate in is very good.
But what we do know is that there are literally for-profit colleges and universities all across the country who have terrible graduation rates and whose programs, many of the programs, aren't nationally accredited. And there are literally millions and millions and millions of federal aid going to students to attend these institutions where there doesn't seem to be very much accountability at all. The fact of the matter is that we've entered a new era. There has to be accountability in terms of where federal resources are put into, and colleges and universities have to look to change the way we deliver services, look for efficiencies wherever we can, and I think some accountability is in order. There are plenty of areas, though, where the president, I think, is focused and saying, well, how can we be giving, you know, all of this aid to places that where students have are not graduating, where they aren't accredited programs, there are online programs, for-profit, that are just funneling federal resources into everything but getting a college degree.
Exactly. That's a big piece of sort of his club, in a sense. You know, he said that we will start to withhold federal aid from colleges that fail to hold down the rising price of tuition, and they don't. He described it as an undisciplined system that he doesn't want to continue to pour federal money into. Listeners, we are talking about President Obama's proposal that colleges be ranked not just by SAT scores but things like graduation rates, how much money graduates make when they come out, how much debt they have. He hopes that that will force colleges to look really hard at how much they charge and hopefully bring those costs down. We have in the studio the president of Wheelock College, also the chancellor of UMass Lowell. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about this idea. We are at 1-800-423-8255. Again, 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Chancellor Meehan, another question for you, because I noticed that when the president made this proposal, he gave shout-outs to some colleges that he thinks are doing quite well. There was one school that has a program that guides students to, quote, the courses in which they are most likely to succeed. And that made me think, could the numbers end up being juiced in a way so that rather than schools simply trying to educate students for the sake of educating them, they're very focused on what the rankings are or making sure those kids get high-paying jobs rather than, you know, jobs that may be better for them but pay less?
I think there's always going to be concern with that. Obviously, you know, we focus at Lowell on U.S. News & World Report rankings. We're nationally ranked top tier for the first time in our 120-year history. But there's no question that if you're going to have as a goal to have your rankings go up, you're going to pay attention to how you evaluate the rankings, and you're going to make adjustments. The question ultimately really is it a good thing for universities to adjust what they're doing in order to do well under whether it's the president's rankings or whether it's U.S. News & World Report or any rankings? But I think you always run the risk once you start to look at rankings and make a decision within a university, we need to do better in this era. You always run the risk that there'll be a charge of gaming or trying to do. But the other side of that is, if there's no accountability and nobody's ever held accountable, well, that doesn't work either. So it's sure. You know, the truth is somewhere, I think, in the middle.
Sure. But I think, you know, rankings and metrics are what counts, and it's really the value. So,
but value being very hard to define,
right,
let alone
very
measure.
Hard to define. And when you look at U.S. News and World, some of the metrics that they use are really at a disadvantage. Take to a place like Wheelock, which doesn't have a huge endowment. And if you use endowment as a metric of the value of an education, many institutions are going to be at disadvantage by that. So I think the president's willingness to have a discussion about what are the values that we care about, what are the metrics that we will use, how do we make sure that institutions aren't disadvantaged because they're not wealthy or they're not in a large urban area or they're not a large institution. Not all students will do well in a large institution. So one of the beautiful things about Massachusetts is that we have a range of institutions in Massachusetts, great institutions across the board, public, private, small, large. All of us ought to be able to do well.
And those U.S. news rankings you mentioned, of course, are also very controversial.
We pulled out of some of the categories of those rankings because they're unfair. For example, one category was to ask college presidents to rank other colleges. Well,
right.
We pulled out of that because that's not a good value system for us.
John Marcus, you write about education. I see you're clamoring to jump in here.
Well, because to speak about unintended consequences, you can look at the U.S. News report and the effect that it's had on how financial aid is given out. So, for example, we have seen a shift from need-based aid, that is aid for people who have demonstrated financial need, to students that don't really have a financial need but have very high SAT scores. They come from affluent suburban high schools. They have good GPAs, and they have everything that the university or college needs to increase its position in the rankings. Universities and colleges, I've learned as a higher education writer, are human institutions as fallible as any other human institution, and they will do whatever it takes to, for example, raise up in the rankings. We like to think, and for the most part, they have our best interests at heart, but they also have their best interests at heart. And so these kinds of measurements can have those kinds of unintended consequences.
We have several callers, and I want to go to Ellen from Worcester. Ellen, thanks for calling us, and I understand you think the president's proposal does not go far enough.
Right, because he's not addressing the issue of merit money, which your last speaker just alluded to. It's driving up the cost for everyone else.
Merit money, meaning not need-based, simply, have you earned it in terms of ability and talent and so forth?
Right. It's bait to attract students that the school feels are desirable in some way or other, and they're underwriting those kids to attract them to come. So it puts kids who need financial aid at greater risk, because they're actually needy, and it makes everyone who does not receive merit money pay more.
So, Chancellor Meehan, we've just heard merit payments described as bait. What is your thought about that?
Well, there are some instances, though, where you use merit-based financial aid. I'll give a very specific example. We needed at Lowell to increase the diversity of our student body. We've increased that diversity by 74%. And what I noticed in looking at the numbers that were great, we weren't getting enough students from diverse background with very high SAT scores. The reality is you don't have a diverse institution if your diversity is based on folks that have lower SAT scores. You have to go out and put a financial aid package together because you're competing with colleges and universities across the country to get these students. So you have to go out and get them. So there are instances where you need to provide more financial aid in order to get the mix of students that you want. But I generally agree that merit-based is totally different, and we do look sometimes at merit-based because we want SAT scores to go up and all the rest. I think the answer to this is we need more money for financial aid. We need to get more resources for students so we're accessible.
That competition for those kids. Last year, U.S. universities gave $5.3 billion with a B to students that did not meet the federal definition of financial need. $5.3 billion, on top of which federal tax law gives tax deductions to families that make more than $100,000 disproportionately for tuition tax credits. So we are subsidizing people at the high end and forgetting people at the low end.
Of course, I think it's a separate conversation about whether extreme academic performance should be rewarded in some way, even if you don't need the money. Let's go to another caller, though. This is Haley calling from Beverly. And Haley, you go to NYU?
Yes, that's correct.
So what do you think about this ranking system, this ranking proposal?
I think
I think that there's a problem, especially at NYU, where there is a very sharp division between kids who are there on scholarship, like me, and kids who are there whose parents can afford, for the most part, a lot of the enormous tuition that goes into going to a school like NYU. And my concern with the system that Obama's proposed is that those schools, which carry that name recognition and the brand recognition, will become schools that, because they're not getting as much financial aid, kids who can't afford to go there will just stop going there. And I think the last thing that you really want is to have schools with high name recognition who are private universities to become less diverse in terms of the economic backgrounds that they're taking in.
But John Marcus, I think the president's plan hopes to counteract exactly this.
That's my sense, too. I think, frankly, that the opposite might happen, that those brand name schools, which tend to have pretty good outcomes, would actually see their eligibility for financial aid increase and thereby attract students who know that it's a better deal for them.
And also we should look at how these institutions use the money they have available financial aid. For example, many institutions like Wheelock, almost all of our endowment, all of our annual unrestricted giving that we get each year, 100% of that goes to financial aid. So if we look at rankings, maybe there ought to be a criteria that says your unrestricted or investment money and other sources of support, how do you use that? Do you use that to subsidize the operations of the university, or do you use it for financial aid? And many small private institutions use almost all of their endowment income and their annual fund income. They're like Wheelock. We give it to our, give it back to our students.
John Marcus, you know from writing about education that just 2 weeks ago there was a plan announced in Massachusetts that would tie community college budgets to things like their ability to improve graduation rates and even meet the state's workforce needs, and even give more assistance to minority students. So in some ways, is the president's plan on a grand scale what's already happening at the community college level in Massachusetts?
Slightly different, but along the same sort of theme. That is, what's happening in Massachusetts is called performance funding. It's happening also in a number of other states, whereby instead of being allocated funding based on enrollment, that is the number of people in seats, universities and colleges, including Massachusetts community colleges, will be allocated their state budget, the proportion of their state budget based on outcomes. That is, how many of those students actually complete the course and how many graduate. What the president is proposing to do is use the financial aid to encourage these kinds of outcomes. It's slightly different, but Massachusetts is doing that too. There's a small pilot program in Massachusetts under which, in order to continue to receive financial aid, students have to take a certain number of credits per semester. The more credits per semester you take, research shows, the more likely it is that you'll speed through to completion within a given period of time and not linger forever until you run out of financial aid and never graduate.
We have another caller who sees a flaw in this system, and this is Rick, who's calling from Reading. Rick, you have spent time teaching at colleges?
Yes, thank you. I've spent 25 years teaching at some top institutions in both New England and Canada. And my concern is with the graduation rate requirement threshold and the six-year rate. And it seems to me, and I'd be more interested to hear your opinions, isn't this simplistic? A, couldn't it be a forcing function to lower academic standards at schools rushing their students to graduate on time? And then B, isn't it overlooking some of the nuances of student lives in the sense that some students have real challenges at home, not only raising children, but taking care of elders, often taking time off to hold down full-time jobs? And then finally, linked to that last point is some fields seem to lend themselves to time off to engage in work. I think of students that I've had who were fine arts majors who went off to work in New York, and they came back after 3 years. They would fall through the slats in the current design. So even that, we should ask, isn't it fair game for some students to, like Bill Gates did, drink from the trough for a short duration and then go off and create things, great things? So I'm concerned about this graduation rate requirement. At best, perhaps it's something that could be put in the hands of the students themselves rather than the institutions, but leaving it in the hands of the institutions, I see, is a recipe for difficulty. What do you think?
Rick, those are great points. Marty Meehan of Lowell, could you touch on that first? Because I assume particularly at UMass, you see many people going part-time, maybe having
Absolutely.
To leave and come back.
There are folks that are raising families, just as Akala said, raising families and things that happen in a family. But also, we're encouraging our students to study overseas. We're getting more of our students experiential learning opportunities, co-ops, for example. And that's going to mean it's going to take a little longer to graduate. But I think given the precious public resources that are available, I think the time where the public is going to, whether it's a state or the federal government, is going to let a student linger on for 7, 8, 9 years, I think that's coming to an end. There are a lot of problems with how we count graduation rates, and I'll give you an example. If some John and I were talking about a student that was at UMass Amherst, transferred to UMass Lowell, graduated from UMass Lowell last semester. On UMass Amherst books, that person didn't graduate.
They're a dropout.
So exactly. So part of it is if the president and the Department of Education is going to come up with a system to measure graduation rates, it needs to be accurate because oftentimes students transfer to another college or university and they're considered having dropped out or certainly not graduating. So I think the caller is correct, but I do think that we have to look at the fact that if there are going to be federal or state money involved, there's a certain limit to how long states and federal government will be providing public resources for this. But also, we have to make sure that if a graduation rate is X or Y, that it really is a graduation rate. We should be able to count it. If somebody else comes to UMass Lowell and then goes to BU for 2 years, graduates from BU, well, that person did graduate.
Yeah.
And President Scott, in the little time we have left, do you think there's also a chance, as the listener suggests, that colleges will have an incentive to give people as high grades as they can so they graduate as quickly as possible and they rank highly as a result?
Well, I hope not. I think we believe our faculty all have very strong academic integrity. But I think we do have to really pay attention to the changing demographics. We have a lot more students who are coming. You know, when we talk about this 6 year, they're thinking about the traditional 17 to 21 year old student. Well, all of our institutions are seeing the demographics change. And we have a lot more adult students and so on. So I think the caller has some very good points that hopefully we will take into consideration.
And John Marcus, quick closing question for you. As we mentioned, the president, if these rankings are established, would then like them to be tied to financial aid. So higher ranked schools might get, you know, those students might get more loans. But Congress would have to approve that. Given the relationship between president and Congress, is that likely to ever happen?
The Republicans have already called it a form of price control, and they've already pointed out that it's not fair to rank all universities and colleges equally. The rankings, however, the president can do without congressional control, without congressional involvement or approval, and that, I think, is all by itself going to have a big impact.
So we may see those, and those might have some sort of public shaming, I think, as someone said.
The wall of shame in 2015.
Sure.
We've been talking about President Obama's proposal to try to lower the cost of college by ranking schools, by things like how much student debt students have, what kind of salaries graduates are paid. We've been talking to education writer John Marcus, with the president of Wheelock College, Jackie Jenkins Scott, and also with Chancellor Marty Meehan of UMass Lowell. Thank you very much to all three of you for making the trip to the studio.
Thank you, Sasha.
Thank you.
And stay with us. Coming up, we will be debunking some common pregnancy myths with Common Health's Carrie Goldberg. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer, and this is Radio Boston.